have your information that you sent to the board, the written information that you sent. So is there anything else that you need to add to that, ma'am?
No, sir. Everything is in the letter, so I hope that goes well.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Mr. Salinas, if you would come forward, sir. Good afternoon, sir. This is your hearing for absolute discharge. You have requested to be considered by the board, and the board is now ready to move forward. I want to thank you and your team for your patience at being with us today, for your being here, having to sit with us. But it's always an honor just to have you sit with us all morning, sir. So, Mr. Salinas, may I get you to state your name, and if you remember, you may have forgotten, and your ABC number, sir.
Yes, my name is Roy Salinas, 060415.
Thank you, sir. As you know, you appeared for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your hearing for absolute discharge, and since we have the recording going, just for the record, we have all five board members present this afternoon, and they are the Honorable Mr. Louis Kalmanis, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair this afternoon, sir. And we just want to talk to you this afternoon to see if the board, see what the determination the board wishes to make. I think that we have had an opportunity to review the records that's been presented to the board, as well as the letter that has been sent to the board by the department, by your parole officer, and we've had an opportunity to review it as well. I would just point out the fact that based on information, and I'm just going to make a brief statement, and then we're going to ask you, as we always do, just to fill in and to talk to the board members. The original offense that we show would have been endangerment, and that you received probation on that one, and that would have been back in 1985. And then the other one, most recent one that you was discharged from or received the release from, was murder first degree, and that one would have gone on the record in 1986, and the possibility of release upon completion of 25 years. And according to information I have, and please correct me where I'm wrong, you were released on parole back on August the 7th, 2013. Is that about right, sir?
Yes, sir.
And you've been on parole since then, and I'll just make a few comments, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and other members of the board. Based on information that I've gained, is that you have been employed since then. I guess you initially, you started with Frank Mellon Labor, then you went to another home company where you was doing some work, and currently, and then you went to MJP Construction, and currently you are employed at, employment at Patio, Hunter's Warehouse. And you went there beginning in August of last year, and you're still employed there. Are you still employed there or not, sir?
I just left there for a skimmer's plumbing job.
Okay. So you're getting ready to start your own company now?
Well, technically, I've had eight months of my own handyman service. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the opportunity to,
Okay, but this is what I was just looking at, it, because if you give it to us, then we're going to have to keep it on the record.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just didn't want to take it, and then you're working on it, and then you're coming back saying, well,
I'm not going to do it. I had it in my truck, but then my wife had me take her car, and I forgot to grab a handful of them to give to you guys. 8 months ago, I started my own handyman business while I was working with MGP Construction. She gave me the idea, we're always doing what you should learn how to do on your own. So So I have no handyman business for the last 8 to 10 months.
And I would also point out, sir, that that was included in the in the letter from your parole officer that you had your own business. So we want to commend you for that. That's really showing initiative. And I was going to wait until the end, but I'm going to start talking now. Just for my edification, how's the business going, sir? Of being an entrepreneur in such a short period of time. I've been out here all these years. I'm still not an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur, sir. First and foremost, I give to God, because without the gentleman that come to represent me today, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, because their leadership has given me the opportunity to come out in this community, which I don't know how many of you, 5, 6, 7 years ago in 2011, when I first initially went to the parole board, I made a vow to you guys that I would be doing what I am today, and that's being a successful member of the community.
Well, unfortunately, sir, and I don't know why it happened that way, but unfortunately, none of us was on the board when you were initially released, because you were released in 2013, I believe.
Yes,
and so I came on in 14, and the rest of the distinguished board members came on last year. So none of us was on the board, so this is our first time. This is, we were not with you when you came out, but we're glad to know that you do as well. So exactly what do you do with your handyman business?
I learned to do MJP construction. I learned to do drywalling. I can do plumbing. I've learned to do a lot of demolition, unfortunately. But you have to do the demolition before you can do the reconstruction. But I've been trained to learn to do things that you know. Once you go into a house, you do containment to keep from any damage happening in the house. I'm basically learning now how to do some of the tile work and wood floors. Paintings has been one of my, I've learned that fairly well. Installation of cabinets is one of the smaller things I do. The handyman services, basically right now it's out in Sun City. I've gotten in contact with the president's homeowners association in Sun City, which has allowed me to go out there. In the last 8 to 10 months, I've done a lot of work out there at a cheaper price than what most people will go do something for $400. I will charge them $250. Mm-hmm. Just for the simple fact that, one, they can't afford it, and two, they need the work done. So I'm not trying to make money, I'm just trying to get their work done for them and make ends meet. So that's been a benefit to what being part of that community out there has been real beneficial, because by word of mouth, I've blown up out there. I get calls all the time. Sometimes I can get to the job, sometimes I can't. But I mean, it's been a blessing just being able to work with a community like that.
Okay, and I like your slogan, always Salinas.
Yes, sir.
And Roy of all trees. All the trees now, sir. So that's great. And on the back, always Salinas.
Yes.
No job too small. So you're really into it, sir. Okay. And so do you expect over a period of time to enlarge your business, or what are your future? Is this going to be the direction that you're going in the future, or have you decided yet, sir?
It's not up to me. I'm trying to better my skills right now. My old boss used to tell me all the time, you got to take baby steps, because if you start trying to run, you're going to fall. So I'm learning more as I go. I would like eventually in the next year to study to become a contractor, to get a contractor's license, but that's something that I need to put my heart into it and start studying. And that's something I lack as far as getting into a book and reading it. I've never been a big reader, but that's something I have to do in order to succeed with this business getting bigger. And it'll come with time. I think I need to just be patient and do what I'm doing.
I guess aside from, or maybe even more important to you than the business itself, I take note that since you been out, you're married.
Yes,
How's the marriage and the family going, sir?
My marriage is absolutely wonderful. She's unfortunately read the letter. She wasn't able to come today because she's going to be traveling Thursday to Oregon to do things with my family, and so she couldn't take the extra day off today to come here, but she took time last night to write a letter to send to you guys today, and she apologized for that. She was here, I believe, a little over a year ago when I came for a communication hearing about my license, my driver's license, and she came here then.
I was here for that one, but I was not here when it looked out initially.
Right.
That was a modification. It was modified last year for you, so you could get your driver's license. So you're happily married. I mean, since your wife is not here, and hopefully maybe she won't get a copy of the recording. So are you going to be honest? So are you happily married, sir?
I am very happily married. It's been a blessing to be married with her. The great thing about our marriage is we both come from the same background. We both came through the same alongside ministry program. We were both graduates. She did about a third of what I did. She did 10 years. I did like 28. So, but we coming from the same background and going through the same steps that we're going through now has been a blessing to know each other like that.
Well, so. Great. And I guess the last time you came before this board, which we just talked about a minute ago, would have been last year, really a year before last, at the end of, back in December of 2016, that's when you asked for a modification, and the board granted you that you may drive a vehicle as long as you remain drug and alcohol free.
Yes, sir.
So I have to ask, have you remained drug and alcohol free since you got your license?
I will not even enter a bar. I won't talk to people that do drugs. You know, a lot of my friends that do things, I have discontinued contact with them. I do whatever I have to stay away from those things because of the fact that I know what it'll get. You know, I know what the results are. I lived through that once before. And unfortunately, the other guy said earlier, you asked me something from 1985 and I can tell you what it was, you know, because I know what I did wrong in the past, and I'm not going to do that again today or tomorrow or next year. That's my past, and it's going to remain my past.
I'm going to get that very shortly, but I'm going to ask you at any rate, sir, and I know what your answer is going to be, but I just want to go on the record, you know, I know back in the day, you know, when I was young and going to school, I used to do construction work, and every Friday night, those fellows would get out there and get drunk. You don't go out and get drunk with them on Friday night, so, you know, those construction workers, every one of them would go out and just drink as much as they could on the weekend. So you go out with your buddies, sir?
No, sir, I have a date with my wife every Friday night.
You have a date with your wife every Friday night. You know what to say, don't you, see? So she can listen to the tape. Okay, so you go date with your wife. What is your do aside from spending time with your wife? Is anything else in the community you do? Anything else that you do? I mean, I know you work, I know you're employed and all of that, and we'll be listening to your friends in just a few moments, but anything else? Do you go to movies? Do you go to church?
We attend church services every Sunday, sometimes on Saturday evenings. Twice a week I go to what's called the discipleship training center where I graduated from, the Alongside Ministries, and I go to the Bible studies, which are guys that came out of prison, and I go there and I speak with them guys one-on-one at times, just to let them know that, look, it doesn't matter how much time you did, it matters about what you do with your time now, because anybody can walk out that gate and say, I'm going to, but are your feet going to do what your mouth says? Because it's easy to say something, but to do it is a whole different story. And I go there and I talk to them and let them know, don't think it's going to be simple. It's not. I mean, if it was easy, we'd all be this, but we're not, you know. And in 4.5 years, August will be 5 years I've been out, and not one day it's been simple, because every day you go up one of these streets and there's somebody right there that's going to tempt you to do something. But it's whether or not you walk away or walk up to them. And if I walk over there and I see it, I walk in the direction. If it costs me an extra 5 minutes, oh, so be it. I avoid everything possible to be around what I did in the past, and that's just how I am. So.
And if this rule saw fit to grant you an absolute discharge, would that still be your philosophy? Would you still take that extra 5 minutes to go around if something was going on, because you would have, you know, more, you have freedom now, but you have more freedom if you're with absolute discharge. So would you live a productive life and not get in any trouble if this board saw fit to grant you absolute discharge, sir?
If I was granted absolute discharge, I'd take an hour to walk around it.
Well, how do you want absolute discharge, sir? You're already on parole. You're not on home arrest. You're already on parole. You don't have to write up all that stuff. I don't believe you have on, I didn't look at your legs. I don't think you have on a GPS and that's of that nature. So why do you want an absolute discharge, sir?
When I walked out of prison, I was free at that time. I was free then. 2005, when I accepted Christ into my life, I was free. The big hill that I came off of when I came out in 13, that was it. That was my best day. Other than my marriage, my wife, whatever. But the reason I'm absolute discharge is I have a problem. I was still driving UA any day of the week for you guys. It wouldn't bother me. I'm not going to use drugs again. But two, I have family members, my dad in Oregon, who for 30-some years, he was by my side every single day that I was incarcerated. He was there for me every day. And now he's 87, almost 87 years old, come Saturday. And I want to be able to go up there every weekend or any weekend without having to call and say three-week notice or a month's notice. And I want to be able to go up there whenever I feel the need to go up there and spend time with him. Because for 30 years, he took care of me. And now I want to return that favor and start taking care of him. I have two younger siblings up there that they're on their own, doing their own things. They live there, but they're not taking care of my father. And being granted absolute discharge would give me the ability to go up there and go in anytime I feel the need to and take care of him and do things for him and spend time with him. You know, get up at 5 a.m. and drink a cup of coffee or sit in the evening outside in front of his house. You know, it's an opportunity that I've been waiting for over 30 years to spend time with my dad, which I haven't been able to do. And my mother unfortunately passed away in 2004, and he's alone right now. And being granted this discharge would give me that door to do that. I can still do it, but I have to call my parole officer. I have to wait 2 weeks to get a report. I have to go through it. And unfortunately, the way the system works, which I'm not upset with, but if I set it up for May 5th, May 2nd, I can go in there and they can say you're denied travel orders. Well, I already got the flight, the hotel, and everything set up, and then it's got to get canceled because they decided at the last minute to say no. But I just want that opportunity because, like I said, in 2011, when I started going to these parole boards, I meant it. You're not going to see me back in prison again. You can bring a truck full of money and say, well, this is all you got to do, you can have it. I don't need that money. My freedom is worth more than anything in this world. And I mean that. So.
As we stated earlier, none of us was here when you were releasing the board members. So if you could just pick just a few moments and carry us back, and I know that you want to forget it, but we always go back to the reason that you were incarcerated. So what was going on in 1985, December 13th, I think it was? Well, how did you end up participating in this murder, sir?
Alcohol and drugs, alcohol, cocaine, you know, marijuana, were a part of my past. And once you got me to drinking, I would do cocaine, and then I would do marijuana. And you could turn around and tell me, hey, this guy over here's got $500. All we got, let's go. I mean, if there was gain in it, then I was doing it. I was a very selfish and destructive individual. Unfortunately, it cost me more than, I was 24 when I got locked up. I spent 28 years in prison. I spent more time in prison than I did on the streets. And I know that alcohol, drugs, and that stuff cost me my life. And doing those ended up taking someone's life, which I, trust me, I'll never forget that. I never will.
What happened that day, sir?
We were in the process of drinking and doing some cocaine.
And somebody was stabbed?
Wanted to buy some marijuana.
Okay.
We took him to go purchase the marijuana, and he got flustered because the guy that we went to his house didn't answer his doorbell the first time, went back into town to buy some more beer, came back a second time, he didn't answer. The third time when we came back, he was getting like disruptive, just, you know, he was getting angry because he thought we were, I guess, going to rob him or something. He got mad. And he had been notorious for carrying supposedly a gun in his boot. And when I heard him drop his beer bottle, I got defensive and I grabbed the knife. And unfortunately, I took his life. And like I said, there's not a day go by that I don't regret what I did. I sincerely apologize to you guys, to the community, to his family, for taking someone's life, because it wasn't necessary. My drug use, my alcoholism, my irresponsibility cost someone's life. And I went to prison for 25 to life for that. There was a day I went in there and cried about, I shouldn't have, hey, I did what I did. I mean, I was guilty of it. There was nobody had a gun in my head telling me to do this. I did what I did.
Did this actually take place in a vehicle or a
yes, sir. So it was in a vehicle. There was a driver. He was the victim was a passenger in the front seat, and I was in the back seat.
And you think it was because of the illegal substances, i.e. alcohol and drugs, that was the reason that you reacted the way that you did on that particular occasion, sir?
I always, as a juvenile, I always had an issue with drinking and smoking marijuana, and behind the two becomes violence. Because, like I said, if you caught me on the wrong day, I had no problem doing whatever I had to do. You know, that's just how we grew up. My brothers, I have five brothers, you know, and I was the third from the bottom. There was three above me, and if you let somebody call you a B word or any other word, then you had to defend yourself, or the brothers would come, your own brothers would come and get you and say, you better do something about that. So I grew up in a violent background with my kids, with my own brothers. So going through junior high and high school, that's what I grew up with. Like I said, I don't make any excuses for what I did. I mean, I'm responsible for what I did. I am.
Okay. I go on and on, and I really enjoy talking, but I'm going to yield to other board members who might have some questions for you at this time as it relates to the original offense, the incident offense, all the way up until where we are at this particular time. Any honorable Mr. Cohen?
Just a quick one, because I know you were into this process, and I, as our board chairman had said, you know, there's a certain amount of respect for what. These are my words, but I mean, there's a certain amount of respect for where you arrived and like going back all the way, like, yeah, like we're starting at square one. But being in the prison system for so long, when did you feel like you were personally turning the corner? You talk about a very violent upbringing, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way you're conditioned. Going to the prison system, I'm sure there was some tough guy sort of posturing going on in prison. So when did you turn the corner? You don't have to tell me the exact day, but I mean, like, how many years?
I don't even, this sounds like absurd, but I think it was the second week I was in county jail. Because in county jail, Maricopa County Jail right there, the doors only crack if the officers open them. And every day, this chaplain would walk by my cell, and he said, get away from my door. And one day he walked by and the door whacked. And I don't know how. And he walked in and sat down, and I started cussing at him to get out of my room. And he sat down, and to this day, I've never been a big memory guy, a memorizer. But to this day, he read the scripture to me Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, if you turn to Jesus now, you'll never have another worry in your life. And at that time, I realized, no matter what happens to me, whether I go to prison for the rest of my life or go to death row, I don't have to worry about nothing no more. And at that time, I felt a comfort. And after 3 to 5 years in prison, I realized this isn't what I want to do with my life anymore. In 2005, I walked away from all the, what they call politics, the people of authority. I walked away from them and told them, do what you got to do. And it's amazing because you guys have been around the prison system enough that 2% of the people that say made that comment walk away. The other 98% are either dead or in protected custody. And neither one of those happened to me. I lived the last 8 years of my time in prison in peace. And people used to say a word to the yard, let her go, leave her alone. We're made his decision, we'll respect that. So the last 8 years from 2005 to 2013, I walked around the yard. It's like, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I loved it the last 8 years of my time in prison, because this man came to see me at the church and used to talk to me about the ministry and stuff like that. And I was at peace. I knew that I had a better life. Sooner or later, my life was going to get that much better. So, yeah, I would say it was early in my stage, but after 25 years, I realized I did not want to be incarcerated anymore. Even though I ended up doing 23 more years, I knew that wasn't going to be the rest of my life. I was in prison. Where some people, they don't care. That's their aim, because they just enjoy it. I don't.
Thank you for such an honest answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Other questions, board members, or comments for Mr. Salinas at this time? I don't see any more at this time. That'll probably be some a little later, but since you have two individuals who've signed in, why don't you just have a seat up here and see who we want to come first? The younger gentleman is coming first. Good afternoon, sir. Would you state your name for the record, sir?
Mike Morazzo.
And what do you want to tell this board, sir?
I'm going to go over North Engine Reconstruction. And I kind of got started in the remodeling business. So I met Roy when he first came out, and he worked a couple weeks for me. Then I didn't have any work. I was just using him as a laborer. So later on, when I had more work and he was available, I hired him. And he worked, 2016 for me. And he learned a lot. So first of all, I'm a certified remodeler. So when I my passion is teaching guys. I use my work as my tool to mentor guys that need help, whether they're ex-cons or whether, you know, their ex-vets or whatever. That's what I use my business to, is to help guys. So the thing about Roy that I appreciate was his willingness to learn and his willingness to love on people. Because when he was the people in my customers' homes, they trusted him and he went out of his way to do things to help them. But one of the best qualities that I appreciated from Roy is that he was humble enough to take my advice. Because I would come to him many times and he would be telling me what he thought was the way to do something, and I would look at him and say, Roy, you think you know more than you do, and here's the correct way to do this project or this aspect. So when you have a teachable spirit, you learn. And that's what I appreciated and enjoyed about working with Roy. So even now that he's not working for me, it was just last week that he called me that he had an issue with some toilet that was installed really in a weird way. And he called me. He called me and said, Mike, how do I deal with this? Well, how do I handle it? And you know, I've been doing this for 34 years, so I see it in my mind already, and I was able to walk him through it. But he was humble enough, even after he left me, to do that. So the other thing is kind of funny when you mentioned about he's doing the handyman and no job is too small. When I first started, I used to say that, and now I'm getting too big to take care of small jobs. So there's a need out there for guys that'll do the, you know, handyman job, that'll go out there. And so for me to know that he knows I can give somebody, you know, that calls me up and I don't have time to do it, I don't have time to send my men to it, I can say, okay, I know Roy and I know this other guy that I can send to do these smaller type jobs. And it is a learning curve for him, I tell you, because it's, when he gets ready and he learns all the skills, then he's going to have to learn all the management skills. Those are different skills. So I can teach him those if I'm still alive then. But I love Roy. I love him because of who he is. He's solid in what he believes. And more than that, he's an influence to other people. Whether it's other ex-cons or just my wife and I talking to him, his story inspires. And he's free. He knows he's free. No matter what the decision is, he's free. But I agree with him. It's good that you know, my son is. I miss my son, and he's not around. So when he's talking about spending time with his dad, being able to go there, that's amazing.
He told us, or maybe you told us, and I just didn't pay any attention. How did the two of you come together? How did y'all get to know each other?
I go to a different church than he went to. I went to the Paradise Valley Community Church, but I used to live in Chicago and I was involved with the jail ministry there. When I came to this church, I went to the pastor and said, I want to get involved with the prison ministry. So he connected me with a ex-con in Florence, who I had mentored when he got out, and he also connected me with Alongside Ministry. So I think that's how we got connected, was through Alongside, because I knew Carlos, and I went, you know, I would go there on their Bible study nights or their gathering nights when they pray, and they, you know, and that's, I think, where I met him. I think that's where I met him. I can't remember. It was through the Alongside Ministry. So I'm still doing that. I mean, I have my foreman. It was an ex-con. He's been with me almost 4 years. Amazing. And tonight I had an interview with somebody that went, we didn't go through the program. I met him for a long time, but I'm thinking about hiring him. So that's my contribution to
that. Mr. Burton, do I have any questions for you, sir? I just want to say, Burton was having questions for you. I don't see any questions for you, sir. Terry, you explained everything.
Yes.
Thank you so very much. So now we'll get the gentleman to come up. And
it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for...
Please state your name for the record. I think we saw you before.
You've seen me. Yes. My first name is Mercier Willard. I go by Austin. And I have worked with Alongside for close to 5 years. I am no longer with Alongside. Retired and moved to child care, and I oversee a child care organization. So I've worked with men coming out of prison for a number of years, and Roy was in prison when I met him. And it was interesting listening to the whole morning here with what you all do. I had to filter out hundreds of men coming out of prison and hear their stories of how they were never going to go back to prison. And the truth is the recidivism rate is close to 70%, and I would take 10 men and I would say to have 7 of them go this way and go, you're going back to prison. And even though you all say, all 10 of you, that you're going to stay out, that's not going to happen. And I hear these stories of just games, and you hear circular, and you hear lots of men wanting to do the right thing, but then when they get out, they get involved in the same audience, the same people, and it pulls them down, and they end up doing the same thing. right? I see it repeatedly, I see it continuously, and then I would literally see the same man that, to my face, that he'll never go back, and he would tell me all these things. I'd see him 2 years later, back in prison. And it was really, it was disheartening. It was disheartening, and so you tended to become jaded and callous and not believe what anybody said. Because even the ones that you thought were really telling the truth, some of them were the worst. They were the worst. So I came here for Roy because he told me his story in prison, and he told me just what you heard here from him. And we accepted him into the Alongside program, and you know, you always have one eye open just to see if that's going to be the case. It sounded good. But with Roy, it was interesting because what his word was his bond, and what he said while he was in prison is exactly what he did when he was out of prison. In fact, he did even more. He was the type of person that when he said he was going to go help somebody, he would actually go help them. I'm a minister in our church, and so many people say they're going to go do something, then they don't actually go do it. Roy was just the opposite. And so after he graduated from the program, I had him become our night manager there because he was so reliable. He served at that for a while, and then he met his beautiful bride, Frankie, and they got married, and he still, though, to this day, is on Alongside property. He has a home, and Alongside loves him. He does go there on a regular basis. He is an inspiration 5 years after the fact. I am here because I love this man. And in a world filled with people that say one thing and do another, he does what he says he's going to do. And I have to applaud that. What I really like about him is his love for Oregon. Having been born and raised here in Arizona, and not always liking the heat, I can understand how beautiful waterfall Oregon is. And he really does want to spend time with his dad that is definitely elderly, and he wants to be there for him and really be a light for the end of his life.
Any questions for you, sir? No questions? Okay, thank you so very much. And
thank you.
Thanks, and good luck with your new project now, since you left the
Lifeside
Ministry. Okay. Please come back up, sir. Board members, any questions, or questions at this time for Mr. Salinas? We don't see any at this time. Well, of course, you hear this every time you come. This is your hearing. You have the last word, so anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, for the board goes into discussion and make its determination today, sir.
I really want to tell you that I appreciate this opportunity. I know sometimes, like you said, you guys hear stories after stories after stories, and I just know that I'm not that story. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and I do that by the way I walk in my life daily. I love my freedom. I cherish it. There's nothing anybody out here can do. And I can tell you that from not seeing my dad in over 31 years, that once I contacted him like 45 days after I was out, one of the first things he said was, when can we come down there and pick you up? What do we got to do to get you back up here? And as a parent, I don't know how many of you are parents, but as a parent, to hear your son say, I'm not going to go up here. When I came out of prison, I made a commitment to the parole board and to the ministry that I was going to stay in Arizona and complete this program because I needed to solidify myself out here before I was going to do anybody any good up there. Because like I said, in Oregon, that was my past. That's where I used to get in trouble, and then I came to Arizona running from it and ended up getting worse trouble because that's not the solution, running. So when I came out and had to tell my father, I'm not coming home, I'm staying here,
It was hard, but I did it, and I'm doing it today. And I think one of the biggest things a couple years ago my dad told me was, you know what, Mijo, whatever you're doing, continue to do it. Because, yeah, you're not living in my house, but you know what? I get to see you whenever I have the opportunity. That's something I didn't have for 30 years. So I know that I did the right thing by staying here in Arizona and then getting my feet in concrete. Because right now I know that my walk out here in the street in the community is more solid than it has ever been. You know, if I went back to Oregon, I might have got caught up with the old neighborhood kids and stuff like that. And I chose not to do that because I knew ministry was what I needed. And obviously because of my business card and the jobs that I've held down and stuff like that, the community I'm involved with, I don't need to go live up there. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to go spend 3 or 4 months up there like a snowbird. I'm only 56, I mean, if that's what it took, that's what it took. But I mean, I'm ready to be able to do things like that now because I know what I've been able to accomplish in the short time I've been out. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. Whatever it is, it's what it is. You know, if the outcome's good, if the outcome's, it's not gonna change my life.
Thank you so much.
I'm what I'm doing.
I'm gonna invite you to have a seat again, sir.
Yes, sir.
We're in the discussion. Mason, we're talking to you or to your friends and co-workers and supporters, but we're not, just five of us talking among ourselves. And following our discussion, we will make a decision. The board is not in discussion. You know, I usually always say that I like to speak last, but I'll just go ahead and make a few comments right up front. I'm always reluctant to be honest with you, and I think that board members probably picked this up. I don't say it, but I'm always reluctant to move persons to the next level. I'll be honest with you. It's something that you said a few months ago, because many times those who sound so good, they end up disappointing us at the end of the day. And when we're disappointed, the whole state of Arizona is looking at us, and if we're really disappointed, the whole nation is looking at us, and we make some serious mistakes. And that's why we have to be very careful in terms of the decisions that we make as board members. I said that to say this. Let me just make a couple of other comments before I say it further. We do have this letter from the parole officer, and she seems to me that although they don't make recommendations, but she did not show any shortcomings in her letter. I would also just point out for the record, we do have, and her letter is dated the 12th of April, so that was just recent. We do have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing this granting absolute discharge, and it was dated April 16, 2018. Just, I'd like to put everything on the record so that we know what we're dealing with. Initially, I'll be honest with you, even this morning, I was a little reluctant about Mr. Salinas. However, after observing him today and after listening to him and listening to his supporters, I believe that we should give him this opportunity. I'm still going to say I'm a little reluctant, but I think that because I feel it deep down inside that he will make us proud. It's not his responsibility to make this board proud, but I really want to make this board proud, because every time somebody comes back, every time somebody commits a crime and we let them out, it hurts deep down inside as a board member. And I think that you almost 5 years. I'd like to see complete 5 years, but you're more than 4 years, almost 5 years. It seems to me that you've done quite well. You have your business going, you're an entrepreneur, you're a productive citizen. I just would like to see you move forward, to be able to spend some time with your father. I still say, with all due respect, Arizona is a much better place to live than the state of Oregon. And if I was living in Oregon, forgive me for saying that, but I still feel that way. And I commend you for staying in the state of Arizona. Commend you for remaining a part of the Alongside Ministry. I hope that will be you will maintain some type of contact with them for the rest of your life, because that's an outstanding program. We're very proud of it. I know you have other things that you will be doing, you and your wife, and over a period of time. But I guess I said all that just to say that I'm prepared to listen to other board members, and at this time I'm prepared to listen to others. I'm leaning towards giving him an opportunity for an absolute discharge. But I would like to listen to other board members, because we all are independent as board members. You want to come in first? Nobody wants to speak.
Of course, nobody wants to speak. Nobody wants to speak. Okay, please go ahead.
What John has said. Yeah, I want to say it as a point of encouragement. It just got me thinking about it when you were talking about three out of ten. And I know that's not an exact number, but it kind of reminds me of these really hard selection processes that the military goes through. And they often, the really, really hard ones only graduate about 30% too. And you know, there's these 7 guys out of 10 that didn't make it, or men and women. And so I guess I wanted to say as a point of motivation moving forward, that should we vote to grant absolute discharge? You know, you're not all alone, he's not all alone, he's part of a community of that elite group that had the wherewithal to stay the course and make it. It's not just this one out of a million, but actually a community of people that have held it together and made it through. So I feel confident that Mr. Salinas is part of that community, and that's... I'll leave it to the whole board members.
Thank you. Did you try to say something?
Yes, sir. And I'm like you. When I read all these materials, I was thinking, but meeting Mr. Salinas and hearing his story, I completely changed my position. So I'm even in favor of granting.
Thank you so much. I'm Mr. Neal, sir.
I usually try not to say too much. Lord will say it for me. I have to agree with you, Dr. Wright, a lot of times you just get that feeling. And Mr. after agreeing with Ms. Rittenhouse too, when I reviewed this yesterday, it's like, and the discussion today and the supportive thing is, puts a whole different light on it, and as Mr. Canoza says, I never really thought about it quite that way, but it is kind of a neat group of people that go through the system and come out and can succeed afterwards. And way too many of them, you know, they talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk, and so I'm in favor of. Of granting him his opportunity to move forward with his life.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Mr. Justin.
No, sir. You said it all. You said it all.
Yes, sir. You know, we got the last word. Is that
we're going to have the meeting? I have the meeting. We're going to use it as Dr. Raffin. It's a good point.
Let the meeting
last. We're just going to the wrong thing here.
Nothing else, anything else any board member wishes to add? If not, then I'm going to offer a motion, see where it goes. If it goes, it goes. If it does not, it does not. And my motion is just going to be very simple, is to grant Mr. Roy Salinas, ADC number 06041, absolute discharge, and that is my motion, just that simple.
Second.
Agree? Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Agreed by the Honorable Mr. Leo. Honorable Mr. Torres and the Honorable Ms. Windhouse. Sir, the board has voted unanimously to grant you absolute discharge. And this will not become effective until you work everything out with your parole officer. Now, don't go out there and start running around jumping up because your parole officer has the last word, so to speak. We wish you well, sir. And as we said, as each of us said in our own way, we have reservations coming in this room. I had reservations this morning. I read this several times, and I asked myself, why am I doing this one? I should have given this one to Mr. Johnson or somebody. It's hard to just say, hey, but after listening to you and after giving thought to it, my challenge to you is, as I say, other board members say it much better than I'm going to say it. We're depending on you to truly make that difference, to show that you are that special one, at one out of a million or whatever Mr. Gowanus said a few moments ago. We can truly, truly prove to this board, to this state, to this governor, to the members of this legislature, that you deserve this. We count on you. Don't let us down. Please, sir, don't let us down. And we wish you the best with your wife and family. And we wish your father the best. As you say, he's getting just a little over now, as we all are. We wish him the best. And just, I think you say his birthday is when tomorrow or next week, or whenever you say his birthday is. So, and a happy birthday to him. And so hopefully he will accept this as a birthday gift coming to him from this board. And that's all I have to say. I don't know any other board member have anything to say. If not, this would.
I have one comment.
Yes, sir, please.
Please continue to work with the ministry and working with the other offenders that come out. And maybe you can change that number from three success stories to 7 success stories. That's very much needed out there.
Yes.
And what part of Oregon?
Right outside of Salem, Lafayette.
My sister lives in Portland, Tiger.
Yeah, we used to live there.
Well, make a visit up there and get some blueberries. Get some close to see them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so very much. And this will end the hearing. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.